Thanks again for joining me here at my bookstore blog. Thanks again for subscribing. As we cover the book, So Many Versions by Saki Kubo and Walter F. Speck, 20th Century English Versions of the Bible, as we continue to go through the New American Standard Version. And this, again, is a book not found in your so-called Christian bookstores, right? And like I told you the last two blogs, we're going to stray away from the actual book because I just want to give you important information that I've learned in my studies that I think holds weight and value. But there's one thing I want to tell you. In last week's blog, I told you my friend knew Pat Lockman. I was wrong about that. He knew Pat Zondervan, okay? And I'm sure you know who Zondervan Publishing is. This is Dewey Lockman. I'm not sure if he knew Dewey or not, but Pat Zondervan he knew. So disregard that information from last week's. As we continue, we're going to start with the preface from Lawrence M. Vance's book, Double Jeopardy. And I highly recommend this book. This book will tell you the things that are wrong. He points out the things that are wrong in the NASB, and I will show you. I quote, "This statement appears in all editions of the NASB. In regard to the use of historical present, the board recognized that in some contexts, the present tense seems more unexpected and unjustified to the English reader than a past tense would have been. But the Greek authors frequently used the present tense for the sake of heightened vividness, thereby transporting their readers in imagination to the actual scene at the time of the occurrence." And I've told you that before, that the King James Bible has more future tense words than all the translations, okay? And here you have it. They're actually admitting it. They made past tense words present tense. How about that? So things that happened in the past, they're telling you it's happening now. Have you ever studied Matthew 25? That might give you a clue as to why our politicians are opening the borders to everyone. I'm just throwing that out there. Because they think it's present tense, okay? I'll leave it at that. This was followed in 1962 release of the four Gospels by the statement, "Therefore, the board felt that it would be unwise to change these historical presents into English past tenses and have deferred to the wisdom of the King James and American Standard Versions in adhering to the English present. However, in 1963, New Testament, the following statement appears. However, the board felt that it would be wise to change these historical presents into these English past tenses. Therefore, verbs marked with an asterisk represent historical presents in the Greek, which have been translated with an English past tense in order to conform to modern usages." Huh? How about that one? We know we have no originals, right? They tell us, they go back to the Greek, and they don't tell us which one. There are a lot of different Greek texts, and it's important to know which one so you know what side they're on. And I'm going to tell you they're on the Westcott and Hort side anyway. So, thus, Mark 5:22 in the New American Standard reads, "And one of the synagogue officials named Jairus came up and upon seeing him, fell at his feet." This asterisk marking historical presence occur 145 times in the Gospel of Mark alone. The asterisk is right after Jairus, okay? So right away we see that the text was changed substantially in the very first edition of the New Testament. And then here's the kicker, right? The New American Standard has been updated more than 10 times. 1960, 1962, 63, 68, 71, 72, 73, 75, 77, and 95. Really? So if you have a New American Standard from 1960, it is not going to be the same as 1995. How about that one? In that, you know, you should get into a small group and everyone should have an updated version, and then talk about the verses. Talking about not being like-minded. So much for what Paul says, again. And then in 1960, they updated the book of John. In 1962, the four Gospels. In 1968, the Psalms. The New American Standard had four updates to the New Testament before it was even released in 1971. How about that? In the New American Standard explanation of general format in the preface, you will see the NS, and this is in every NASB, okay? The NASB says, thou, thee, and thy are not used in this edition and have been rendered as you and your. How about that? In the King's English, thou, thee, and thy are singular, and you and your, and they forgot one, ye, is always plural. This changes the text completely by making thee, thou, and thy plural. How about that one? Do you care? I care. God cares for sure, because we're talking about his words, not ours. The New American Standard says italics are used in the text to indicate words that are not found in the original Hebrew, Aramaic, or Greek, but implied by it. So that means the whole thing has got to be in italics because there are no originals. How about that? Italics are used in the marginal notes to signify alternate readings for the text. Roman text in the marginal alternative reading is the same as the italics in the Bible text. This is a horrible lie. Why? We have no original text. Just copies of copies of copies. More next week.